Ephesians, the first chapter. You know, God was showing me the importance of how He sees me. I always wondered how God sees me. And Ephesians, the first chapter, is something that's been clear in my heart after studying, and He just keeps opening up His Word to me. It's awesome how God does that. And He meets you at where you're at. So let's start in verse 2. Paul writes to Ephesus and says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Holy and without blame before Him in love. So the love factor comes in. "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved." So let's look at a few things in here, and we'll go as far as we can, and I will try not to keep it too long. First off, Paul wrote to Ephesus and said, "Grace be unto you." You know, another way he could have said it, blessings pronounced. "I pronounce blessings on you." See, every time you see grace, you can see pronouncement of blessing. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. It's a blessing that God has given us. See, now, the message is not about blessing, but you can't have a message that the blessing is not in. Now, I'm not preaching something new to you. All this has been preached before. God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, He's opening things up to you today, and He's got something for you today from this message. Because this has been stirring in me for 3 weeks or more. You know, that when Pastor talked to me, I opened the Bible up after prayer, and it come to Ephesians, the first chapter. When I was being raised, or when we was living in Kentucky and going to church, my dad was ministering. It was just in that time of life, or that time, that we looked at God in different ways. So what I'm saying to you today, I don't see God the same way I did back then. Because I see God as a loving God. A God that wants to bless me. Not a God that's up there sitting, looking down on me, fixing to thump my head with a ball-peen hammer if I step out of line. He's not that type of God. He's a loving God. He loves you so much that He sent His Son. And we've got to understand that, and He calls blessings on us. Now, do we take hold of the blessing? We should. Because it says that it's by God's grace. That's the grace that Paul was talking about when he said, "Grace be unto you." Ephesus, it's God's grace that I pronounce on you. It's God's blessing that I pronounce on you. He's also including Jesus, because it's Christ's grace also, the anointed one and His anointing. So those things, we've got to see the blessings of God and how much He loves us and how much He blesses us. It's His love. Again, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." See, he included himself in that. "Who has blessed us," even though this is a letter to them, he wants them to see that he feels blessed also. "Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Everything is about Christ Jesus. Everything's about His anointing and the anointed one. So God has prepared a blessing. Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Say amen when you get there. "The blessings of the Lord maketh you rich." The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. The grace of the Lord maketh rich. God's grace makes you rich. "And He addeth no sorrow to you. Does sickness add sorrow? Can't be of God. Pain, does that add sorrow? Not of God. Well, is he trying to teach you something? If it adds sorrow, not of God. Because the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Pretty plain, isn't it? The word of God is speaking. And that word is not only for today. It wasn't for only for yesterday. It's not only for today, but it's for tomorrow. You ever wonder why we never get to tomorrow? That we always live in today? He says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. You rich. And addeth no sorrow with it. We got to understand the blessing in the grace pronouncement was good. And it adds no sorrow to it. When Paul wrote to Ephesus, he wasn't saying, you're a bunch of sorry people. He was saying, blessings. Grace be unto you. Peace. Do you ever look at God's peace? Do you understand God's peace? It passes beyond all understanding, doesn't it? God's grace and God's peace is above and beyond. It is abundant. It's an abundant supply. So grace, when I see it, to me it equals blessing. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. God's blessings add to us. There's no sorrow with it. It is and always has been the good pleasure of God, the good pleasure of God's will to bless us in all spiritual things, in all blessings. He always, that's his full intentions, is to bless us. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Look at that. Peter even said it. Grace, blessing, and peace be unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we get blessing through the knowledge of God. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Is that some blessings? That by these you might be partakers. Are you a partaker? Say, I'm a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust and all that. And besides this, he says, hey, one more thing, maybe two. But besides this, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are in you and abounding, they make you that you shall neither be burdened or barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all these things that he's talking about gives you knowledge. You ain't going to be without it. You got to step into it. You got to take hold of it. But he said also, he said, but if you lack in these things, you're blind and cannot see afar off. Say, I'm not blind. I can see because God is good. I take hold of it. James, the second chapter. Back up just a little bit. He said, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen? Just say, hey, God chose me. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and in heirs to the kingdom, which he hath promised to them, that he loved them? That's a question. Hath God not chosen? He chose us, didn't he? We read it back in Ephesians 1. So God has chosen. Hath God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? Are you rich in faith? And heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him, according to he hath chosen us. Let's go back to Ephesians, the first chapter. The fourth verse is, according to he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world. That's a long time. That we should be holy without blame. That we should be holy without blame before him in love. He said something else. having predestined us unto the adoption as children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is his will that you are adopted. It is his will that you are adopted. See, our oldest son adopted, and our youngest son, well, both boys, adopted a son. What does it mean to adopt someone? They chose to do that. They seen what was there, but they chose to take hold of it. We've got some great grandbabies coming later on this year. I think August and September, one girl and one boy. They're really treasures. Now people can go to the hospital and they take a little machine and they look, see, so they tell you who, what they are. They say it's a boy and it's a girl and it's doing good. But see, back in years past, we didn't have that available. But they said, if you'll do a blood test, we can tell you. In the 60s, they would say, now, you shouldn't marry if your blood isn't compatible. So they would do blood tests. And in Kentucky, Deb and I could not get married until we went and got a blood test. I guess we could have, but that was one of the requirements that said, your babies, you're compatible. You're not going to have no problems. But now there's no blood tests that I know of. But when they have the babies or they get pregnant, then they can go into the hospital or doctor's office and rub something on their and find out what it is. And some of them have been wrong. Some of them have said, you need to get rid of this baby because it's got problems. So some do, and some say, no, this is our child. And they've seen that some of the reports that they received earlier was not right. See, not everything that man puts together and makes available to be able to see deep within oneself is true. But God's word is true, and he says he'll make everything right. He hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers, each and every one of them. It is God's will to bless us. And see, like I said, there's going to be a young man and a young girl that's coming into our family in August and September. And I know they're just going to be perfect. You know, well, we'll look at them if the grandparents allows us to. I never realized grandparents were so selfish until I became a great-grandparent. Because sometimes them grandparents will just grab onto them, cling to them, and you won't even get able to hold them. You know, and then they'll say, you want to try? You want to hold them? You know, and you see all over them, you don't have to. You know, so a lot of times I won't. But it's awesome. God is good, isn't he? God chose each and every one of us before the foundation of the earth. We're not a mistake. He chose us in love because he is love. Each one of us are important to him. And when we don't see the importance of someone, we're not walking in love. God wants us to walk in love. And it don't matter what a person, people make mistakes and their choices, they've got to live out. We knew some people that had made some poor choices before they became saved. And so the choices that they made, circumstances had to be walked out. They said, well, we prayed and we shouldn't have to do this. We shouldn't have to walk out our choices. God didn't answer our prayer. There's times that your choices, there's not sometimes, every time your choices has results in them. Every time. But God has given us good choices, hasn't he? He said, I am good. I bless you. Receive my blessing. So Ephesians 4 says, according to he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God wants us to see that we are holy in him. We are holy in him and without blame in love. It says in Romans 11th chapter, it says, for if the first fruit, which is the first fruit, Jesus, right, be holy, the lump, well, I've got a little more lumps than most, is also holy. And if the root is holy, which if we're rooted in Jesus, so are the branches. The Word of God says we are branches. He is a tree, we're the branches, right? Romans the 16th chapter, or the 11th chapter. First Corinthians, the third chapter, says, "Know you not that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" That is a question. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? God calls you the temple of God. God calls you holy. God calls you accepted. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Ephesians 1, the fifth verse says, "Having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." You know, Christ made us adopted unto himself because he seen that. Did not Jesus say, "I don't say anything but what I hear the Father say"? When he seen that to himself, he seen that God had already taken before the foundation of the earth and made us accepted unto adoption. He predestined us to be his adopted, conformed in his image. Galatians, the fourth chapter, says, the fourth verse, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son," right? Romans, the eighth chapter, the 28th verse. Let's turn there. Because I've heard people talk about certain things, let's clarify this. Romans, the eighth chapter, the 28th verse. "And we know that all things work together," right? "For the good to them that love God." And a lot of people stop there, but that ain't where it stops, right? Mine says a comma. That means more to come, right? "To them who are the called, and are we not all called according to his purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son." So Jesus said it this way. He was asked, "Show us the Father." He said, "Hey, wait just a second." He said, "When you see me, you see him, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he said did predestinate, them he also called." We already talked about that. "And whom he called, them he also justified." So do you have to justify yourself? No. You're called and you're also justified. "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Do you see how God sees you? Do you have a different picture of how God sees you now? It's not the works. You don't have to do works. God has done this. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These are what God has done for you. You don't have to do this. People are going to say things about you. But God, how does God see you? It is important to always lean on how God sees you. Because we, in our natural, make mistakes. But see, God sees that. But he don't condemn you for that. He's waiting on you to say, "Hey, Father, I made a mistake." It's not that he don't know it and you're calling his attention to it. He knows that. But he wants you to recognize it. He wants you to ask forgiveness for it. Repent, it says. And what does repent mean? It says turn around and walk off from it. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's awesome. I'm telling you, that is awesome to understand that you can resist the devil. God put the power in you to resist the devil. And he says, when you resist the devil in Jesus' name, glory be, he's gone. The devil is gone because he sees Jesus in you. God is good. See, everything that God sees in us, he sees through the blood of Jesus. Oh, glory be. God justifies. God justifies. God's called each and every one of us. What shall we then say to these things? I said, what shall we then say about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How do you see God sees you now? God is an awesome God. See, we no longer is what we used to be. We got to see ourselves as God sees us. God still sees us as his child, his heir. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We've got to change our way of thinking. Do you see predestination different? Do you see that God ordained things different? Everything that he's predestined is through Jesus. the image of Him He predestined you to be. Verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the change of God's? It is God that justifies. Let's go back to the seventh verse of the first chapter. It says in the seventh verse, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Some say, well, I forgot to ask forgiveness for that sin. It's done been forgiven. It says right here, the forgiveness of sins. Who brings up them sins that you forgot to ask forgiveness for? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. According to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. So we have redemption in God through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 8 says, God hath abounded towards us all wisdom. He is another way you could say that, according to other translations, abounded to us wisdom and understanding, or revelation, the revelation knowledge of Jesus in everything. Verse 9 says, having made known to us, unto us, the mysteries of His will. Well, you never know what God's going to do. It says right here that that's wrong in the way of saying things. Because verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mysteries of His will, God's not trying to keep anything from us. He's trying for us to grab a hold of it, take hold of what His Word's saying. I'm telling you, Ephesians 1 is a good chapter for me. It helps me to see how God sees me. Well, we function in our natural if we don't see God's way of thinking or God's way of doing. Verse 11 says, in whom we also, having obtained our inheritance. What does that mean? According, being predestined according to the purpose of Him whom worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after that you heard. Now see, you're hearing today. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that, you believe. Look at this. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed. God sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, or the prized possession, unto the praise of His glory. God is totally good. Do you believe that? God is good all the time. Do you see yourself different as how God sees you? It don't matter what people say. It does to you. And it should cause you to want to change and get closer to what God's will is for you. But God also brings people around you to help you in change, not to condemn you. If they're condemning you, they're not walking in what God's intentions are for you. But God's Word will show you what you need to be. And how to take hold of it is how to walk out your life. Take hold of His Word. And this chapter here, chapter 1 of Ephesians, has helped me to grow in the knowledge of Him. The wisdom and understanding of what God sees and how He sees me. People sometimes will say something and you think, that might have been me earlier, but it's not me now. I don't have to be like that. There's a lot of times when you make a decision to walk as God wants you to, your friends that you had when you was in those troubles and things like that sometimes go about their way and they don't have much with you. The most that you got to realize is those are people that was in your history. Start running with people that see what your potential is and start speaking into your life about what you can do. You've got to see how God changes the people around about you. We all like our old friends. There's songs that come on the radio that take you back and you think, man, those was good times. We've got a friend over in Jeff City I've known since 74. He goes to the church that we go to. And invariably, I don't think there's any time whatsoever that he don't remember something that we did in the 70s. And it brings back memories, you know. But he or I, either one, are not where we was back in the 70s. Not saying that we was bad or anything like that. We never set out to hurt anybody. You know, you guys know my story. God has forgiven me for that. I've asked forgiveness for it. But sometimes a song or a statement or something that someone talks, and what should build up in you and what comes in me sometimes, I'll think, that's not me now. But all them times that we had, they wasn't all bad. God's not wanting you to live in the past. He wants you to live today. He's trying to surround you with people that'll give you input. And that's what my thought is for you. My message to you today is, don't always look back to your old friends. Let God show you and put people around you that can help you get to your destination, not where you used to be, because they're going to be back there, and they're wanting to get to a different destination. They're not wanting to stay where they're at. But see, God will give you the opportunity to say, because I know for a fact God will give you those opportunities to say, that ain't me no more. I had one of my friends say, don't preach to me. I said, I don't want to preach to you. But evidently what I'm doing now, you're noticing, because you asked me what was going on. So my thought to you, and what God is showing me through Ephesians, the first chapter, and Paul wrote it to Ephesus, don't stay where you're at. Take hold of the blessings of God and the peace of God, because God is good. The blessings of God is good. The grace of God and mercy is good of God. And sometimes it's better just to keep your mouth shut, and that speaks louder than words. Because people in your walk, you know, I've been higher highs than I ever was on man-made stuff of the thing of God. The Holy Spirit will give you that goose every now and then. He won't infringe on you. He is gentle. He has got a voice. But I'll guarantee you, if he tells you to run and you run. I remember the first time I got into a church, somebody took off running, and I thought, that's crazy. What they running for? And I remember the first time I heard run. In myself, there was nobody running, and I didn't do it. And then when I was going out the door, you should run. But I also remember the first time that I listened. And I run around the church, and I come back to my seat, and I stood there, and I wasn't even out of breath. And I thought to myself, now this is how I work. I went all the way back to the 60s. Because I remember me running that mile or two. And the last mile, or the last half mile I run, I did a fast walk because I was out of breath. See how your mind works? I run in the spirit, and my natural wasn't exerted. So that, you know, that was just a, it's just amazing how God, if you'll run what God and do what God asks you to do, it'll happen.